This is Infection, the H1Z1 podcast, recorded live on Tuesday, April 7th, 2015, episode 12. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Infection. Infection is the H1Z1 podcast, and we're your source of the latest information on H1Z1. We bring you the latest news, change logs, developments, strategies, and speculations each and every week. My name is Nick Craig. At Gamecast Live is my Twitter. InfectionPodcast.com is the website. Joining me, Brian Aldridge. Hey.
Hey, hello everybody. I am Brian Aldridge. Of course, if you want to find me, get a contact form on biteoftech.com. That's with an I. Or you can go to infectionpodcast.com. We have a contact form on there that'll get you right to both of us at the same time. And also, if you go to google.com/+ Brian Aldridge, and of course, that's with an I as well, that'll take you to my Google Plus page. You can follow me on there. But make sure, first of all, you join our Steam group and that you join our TeamSpeak. Become a part of the podcast and become part of the clan.
Yeah, now we can talk about this. So the server wipes happened last Thursday. Mm-hmm. And we actually picked up an overwhelming amount of people because of that server wipe. A lot of people, it seemed like for them, it re-sparked their interest in the game.
But also, I think some people were waiting to switch. They didn't want to switch while they felt like they had things already. So I think some people were waiting for the wipe before they switched to the server with us.
Yeah, and that was good. And we're on a server now. It's nice we were able to get our names all set up, so we're all infected, and then our username. So the server wipe was good, and it allowed us to, pick up some new members as well. Our TeamSpeak was packed almost all week. Of new players, and geez, Brian, I don't even know where to start here. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about.
Yeah, and so one thing, I'm actually changing the note right now, but we are no longer on blackout for the moment.
This is news. Okay,
just because of the number of hackers, and this will be something that we're talking about. But we went to blackout, and population's great. I mean, I love the population of blackout, but the population of hackers on blackout is also ridiculous.
It's atrocious.
Yeah. So we were just running into the problem of we could not go an hour to 2 hours without being totally wiped out by hackers. And that's still, we've discovered it's not purely blackout. It's like we're having to go to a lower population server just because there's less likely of a chance that we'll run into a hacker. Maybe because there's a little bit less of a population because they're going for the big targets on big servers. But we moved over to Bloodscorn just because there's a little bit lower of a population. And we actually moved out of the city just because even on a lower population one, it only takes one hacker to repeatedly kill you every hour because there's not enough people on the server that you're about to pull your hair out.
Yeah, so this is... We were previously on Walker Empire, which was a consistent medium pop server. Always medium pop. You couldn't call in airdrops. It was consistently medium pop. And we got into this, mindset or whatever, that there were no hackers in the game. We saw these posts on Reddit saying the hackers, the game is full of hackers. And every week, Brian and I would sit on here and say, what are you guys talking about? There's no hackers. We're not experiencing hackers.
I mean, we'd run into them once in a while, but it wasn't...
But very rare. I mean, and
we'd usually kill them.
Exactly. And they weren't hackers that were, like, no clipping into our base. They were hackers that were just, like, spawning a bunch of loot, and we'd just kill them. So this happened on Walker Empire for weeks. We switched to Blackout on Thursday. We set up our base on Thursday, and it has been nothing but... I mean, it's just been a disaster every single day since last Thursday, to the point where we have stopped playing H1Z1 and started playing other games together because the hacker situation...
I mean, it's not like we've totally stopped playing H1Z1, but like we've had some days where we're just like, okay, that's enough. We all enjoy, as a community, as a clan, we enjoy hanging out. We enjoy playing together. Like, we build up that friendship to where it's like, all right, rather than all of us just getting off of TeamSpeak and saying, all right, we'll see you tomorrow and see if it's any better, let's play another game just to keep that community alive. But it's just, I as you said before the show, I usually don't lose my temper. I usually don't get mad. Like, I'll get mad or frustrated, but after the last couple of days, I was livid.
Yeah. When I wake up and I go on the Infection Podcast Twitter and I see Brian tweeting at 2 a.m. that the hacker situation is out of control. Like, Brian is an extremely mellow person, and you've probably taken that from the show. You understand how he's mellow. When he loses it, it's a problem. And everybody in our group has had enough. There's not, I don't think there's one person in our group that goes, oh, come on, guys, it's not that bad. It's disaster. Brian, you want to talk a little bit about what happened? So we built our base in the exact same spot that we had on Walker Empire. This was Humperdinck's Gorge. We had the exact same layout, everything. We had chests. What happened?
So, yeah, so we were building up and having a decent number of, I mean, we had probably 10 to 20 chests. I mean, I'm not sure, spread out through all the different rooms. It was a minimum of 10 chests that we had in there. And so we build that up, and we've got doors, and everything is set up. I mean, the base is done, and now it's just kind of going out and building those raids and going out and, you know, going into Pleasant Valley and raiding and things like that is what you do next. Well, we've got a couple guys in our base, and one of them says that somebody just clipped into the base, which, okay, that's to be expected, and instantly kills our guys. But all the doors are closed. But then he says, all right, well, one of them just opened the door to the base, and they don't have our code, right? And so they go into each of our rooms, and I'm at the cabins by that first Misty Loop, you know, the cabins at the top of Misty Loop, not by the main dam, but just down the road at the end of the dam. And so that's about what, 5, maximum 10 minute run.
That's a 5 minute run for sure. I mean, you're right on Avram Highway. You're right there.
So I start running at that 5 minute mark. I'm like, all right, I'm coming, because everyone else in the base is killed. I've got at least a weapon, and I'll probably die, but I want to be able to make the report. And so by the time I get to the base, within that 5 minutes, every single chest in every single room was deleted. Now, that's 10 to 20 chests full of gear. I mean, we had 7 worn letters. We had just...
And you put a post on Reddit saying that this happened, and a lot of people were saying IEDs, IEDs, IEDs. It would have the amount of time it would have taken for these people to blow up the chests would have been extraordinary.
And there would have been the flames go for minutes,
and there was no damage. None of the structures.
There was zero damage to the base. They let themselves into each room and deleted each chest instantly in all 4 rooms. It was about 4 rooms, I think, that those chests were spread out. Maybe there was more. I don't remember what was in the upper rooms, but those were all gone too. By the time I got there, there were no chests other than the two that we put by the door that I guess they assumed had nothing in it, even though we had things in there.
Yeah. Now the opening of the gates has been a problem in the game since the patch. We took advantage of it, and I know obviously people took advantage of us with it, but you could just go up to any gate you wanted and just press E to open it, and it would open just like there was no password on it. So that's how we assume they got into our base. But opening the metal doors and deleleting the chests is impossible. There was no explosions used.
So there is some bug out there, and I haven't gone through and dug into what the actual hacker software that they're using, you know, these scripters, I don't like to call them hackers, but the scripter software, there's got to be some bug that they found in the H1Z1 code that's allowing them to do this. And why H1Z1 does not have a subscription to this hacker code and at least figure out a temporary patch to these major problems every week. So the guy puts out, every time they do a major update, the guy's going to put out an update for his software, at least see those big things that they're taking advantage of, and at least thwart them for that week.
Well, here's the problem.
It just doesn't make any sense.
Daybreak Game Company is not doing anything to get rid of the hackers in their game. The only thing they have is their stupid report button, and it doesn't even do anything. Brian, how many times were you reporting the same guy and he kept coming back and killing you? Who is monitoring this report button, and who is monitoring their email? It's not doing anything.
And Musty said that he was there because he actually got the church spawn after he was killed in base. He said he was there within 2 minutes and everything was gone. So it's not like the guy looked around. He didn't even bother to go through our items because he wouldn't have had time. to go through, unless, you know, maybe he looked in and ammo, and that's all he took. But the issue is that, as you said, I'm reporting the same person over a 4-hour period. And it's not like they're doing casual hacking. It's not like they're once in a while no clipping. They're once in a while using an aimbot. These guys are just going from town to town to town, aimbotting everyone, anyone they can find. We had a group of 10 people last night that we were going for an airdrop, and we had one guy porting and aimbotting and took out our whole group of 10 people. And that's the point where I was livid.
So this is, I haven't heard the story. I haven't talked to Brian since last night. So it was just one hacker killed.
This is one hacker who was porting around and using an aimbot for headshots that was just instantly killing us one after another. And within just seconds, I mean, some of us were kind of coming in and he moved around and killed them all, but it was within about 15-second to 20-second period. He killed all 10 people.
Yeah. Now Fire Mage Kane is saying in chat, 5,000 accounts banned. There's no anti-cheat measure in this game. The report button is a joke, and so is the remail. When are they going to address hackers? Their game is almost 3 months old. I mean, at what point does the community and does Reddit say, this is enough? I mean, when are you guys gonna step up to the plate and deal with the damn problems in your game instead of releasing trading cards on Steam and worrying about Battle Royale? Fix the core of your game. It's broken, and I don't feel like dealing with it anymore. And at what point do we say, this is enough?
Now the thing is we see these ban reports going across the screen, and the number of ban reports that we're seeing should be the number of ban reports per server, because there's at least that many people that are using these hacks on that server. It's not, we're looking at all the servers, and this is probably Europe, Australia, and the United States servers that these messages are coming from. They're saying that an auto ban system is coming in at the end of April. And no, so
I don't, end of April is middle of August. I mean, this is ridiculous.
Now that's the thing, is I'm the person who's always the optimist, and I realize that, you know, and so I look at it and I say, all they have to do is turn on. I was telling people last night, I don't care if the auto ban system, this anti-cheat measures that they implement, I don't care if they're buggy. I would rather deal with the bugs of them figuring out over maybe a week's period of time why people are accidentally getting banned from these auto cheat measures or, you know, auto detection measures, or why there's game crashes from that. I'd rather deal with that week of that than more weeks of constant hackers. We can't even go into Pleasant Valley anymore without almost guaranteed having a hacker come and attack us.
We can't even get to Pleasant Valley. I mean, we're walking across the water from our base to the church, and we're getting killed by hackers. I mean, we can see our base, and we're getting killed by hackers. I mean, the only thing that we can do is sit in our base and hope to God they don't noclip in, because if they noclip in, we're dead too. I mean,
now
there's no opportunity.
I think somehow I've been whitelisted in the bans for those emails, because I get a response sometimes, and I don't know if it's because of the podcast or it's just because I'm constantly putting in hacker reports, but I actually get responses back once in a while. And so people submit me the reports of the hackers, and they have me send them in because they feel like they get no response whatsoever. And so that's a problem. And then just the fact, as Fire Mage Kane was saying in chat, the response that we keep hearing on Twitter or on Reddit, not just from the people that are working on the game, but just from every other people, is, oh, it's alpha. I understand that. Well, let us test your alpha H1Z1 cheat countermeasures. They keep saying we're working on anti-cheat. We're working on anti-cheat with each of these patches. And supposedly there's anti-cheat in the game. I mean, they keep claiming it, but there's no...
There's no. I don't buy it
reporting.
One bit.
I went through and I said, here's a couple of guys that are using teleports and doing all these things. And here's the whole clan that's going in and using these cheats. I actually reported a whole clan so they could go through and look at the clan tag. And that whole clan changed their clan tag name because however many of their accounts got banned. And so they just changed their clan tag name, and all those people came back. The clan is still there. They just changed their names because all their accounts got banned. And so there's another however many hundreds of dollars that Daybreak Games is getting because of all these bans. I know a lot of people will say that it's because of, that's one reason why they're doing it. Keep getting that money rolling in. I really don't think that's what it is, but I don't know what it is that is stopping them from implementing this. Just turn it on.
But here's the thing. We're talking about an auto ban system. I'm not even talking about something that advanced. We have people speed hacking. That's a problem in this game. Teleporting, right? They're moving at a speed that a regular player would not move at, correct? That's what's happening.
Yes.
Why are there not server-side checks for speed? This is not an autoban system. This is just a system. This is literally an if statement. If player is above this speed, kick. It's as simple as that. Now, I'm not a game programmer, but if I can wrap my head around that, why in the hell has this not been implemented? Why are people still allowed to teleport and speed hack around the map? Why is there zero, and I mean zero hacker implementation, or zero anti-hack implementation? I guess their anti-hack is the report button. That's their anti-hack. Yeah.
Now Fire Mage Kane, who's Heisenberg in game, he says, if we don't have Ferment to kill them or Brian to report them, there's no sense in going outside. that's kind of scary, is that that we're just having to hide. I mean, we put a little shack outside of the fire station just to kind of be in town, but have a place to hide when the hackers come. And that worked for a while until two of our members were in there just because there was hackers all around. And all of a sudden a hacker came up through the floor, poked his head up from underneath the little shack and shot our guys inside of the shack with the closed door. What do you do? You can't even hide in a shack.
You stop playing the game, and that's to the point where this has come to. Now, Brian, you uploaded a video to YouTube, was it last night or this morning? And it said...
Probably last night for
said,
me.
Yeah, it said hacker in H1Z1, and I'm going to play that video. Do you want to talk a little bit about it and kind of explain what's going on here?
I can't, yeah, it'll be a lag, but I'll once you start it, tell me when you
right,
start
so
it.
So I'm at 5 seconds right now, and I just started playing it.
Okay, so this is where we're at the fire station. I'm inside the fire station. I know that hackers are all around, and I'm pushing back a zombie because they don't want to attack me, and I'm getting ready to pull out my gun. This guy comes around the corner and instantly headshots me with the 380, which is, first of all, not supposed to be able to kill you in one shot, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the first thing, is that that's supposed to be a very weak gun. I have a regular helmet on. I don't know if that makes a difference. It supposedly doesn't make a difference with guns, but I don't know with a 380. I'd have to look to see if that actually makes a difference. But this guy instantly headshots me, coming around the corner, doesn't even bother looting my bag. A bunch of zombies come after him, and then he instantly teleports out of the room. This was Eggtard, and he had been killing us for 4 hours. And this is where I made this tweet. I said, we reporting the same person over a 4 hour period. Are you guys even monitoring after hours this email? Because what's the point? Hackers might as well come on after 5 o'clock
exactly.
West Coast time. I mean,
what is this because, hacker system? An 8 to 5? Like, oh, after 8 to 5, it's a free for all. Do whatever you want.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, just hackers, you need to stay off from 8 to 5 Pacific. And that's all that's going to matter. As long as you come in afterwards, they're just going to hit delete all for the hacker reports because there's too many of them for the rest of those hours. This has got to be something, if they're not willing to implement an auto ban feature, it's got to be a lot more expensive for them to keep on staff hired on their whole time monitoring this stupid email account. Do they even look at the ones that you click in game? And there's got to be a point where they don't even bother looking at those anymore. First of all, because of the false reports. I had one yesterday where I clicked it and I was like, afterwards I thought about it. It's like, I don't know if that was really a hack. He may just have had a really good long range.
Here's the problem with the report button, right? You get killed by somebody and it's a headshot or they kill you from a distance. You're going to click report because you're just like, well, screw this guy. I hope he gets banned. Right. I mean, you're not thinking, you don't care if he's a hack or not. You're dead. He's taken all your loot. You don't care if you click report. So that's why the button system is useless. And you know that there's not enough people at Daybreak to sit here and go, okay, well, Brian reported, what was the guy's name? Egg something?
Eggtard, yeah.
Brian reported Eggtard. Let's take a look at Eggtard's logs and see what was going on. No, they're not doing that.
That's the thing. That's why I send in the email, because with that, they actually will, at least for me, they do follow up on some of those emails. But I'm sure the one in game, what they need to do to kind of cut down on the number of reports that are happening, because I think so many people just hit that now and they're probably bogging up the system, make someone put a description, just maybe a drop down of what happened. You know, your suspicion, was it just to make it easier? Why, it makes no sense why they wouldn't want to give more information. Say this person used an aimbot, this person was teleporting. Have a drop down or check boxes of what this person was doing so they know what to check for, and then a short description of what happened, and then hit submit. First of all, most people will not continue with a report if they have to actually do a little more work.
Yeah, because it's easy right now to die, click report, and then click respawn.
Just click it. Yeah, if you put just even one step in there, a lot of those false reports would go away and it would cut down. Plus, you'd have a description, because some people would say, oh, he, if they type in there, oh, he yelled at me and called me a cuss word or something, report, and that was their description. All right, throw that one out, because that one obviously has nothing to do with hacking. But realistically, you just need to put those extra steps in there, make it so that it's not so easy to click it.
Now the question
is, still possible to cut it down so that they can handle the load.
So the question now is, Brian, you have video proof of this guy teleporting away with zombies on him. This is your evidence. Here you go, Daybreak. I mean, you don't even need to cross compare logs. The guy is standing there getting hit by zombies, and he's gone. And so are the zombies, because there's no player there to aggro on. Just disappear.
Now, what I've been doing lately is not putting the link to the video in my report.
Okay.
And saying, I have video if you would like it. Because I want to know, first of all, are they reading this? And if they email me back and say, yes, we'd like the link to the video, then I know they're reading it. So far, I have not got a single response that says, I would like the link to the video that's proof of this happening. Not once. And that scares me, because I've been recording videos. I've been using things to record the last 10 minutes of my play at all times. So the second that a hacker does something, I can save the last 10 minutes. I'll edit that out. And once in a while, I put them up on Twitter or on YouTube and link to it, or post it on Twitter or something. So that is the frustrating thing, is that they haven't replied and say, I would like to have that video one time yet. And so I don't know. Ferment saying the problem is I sent a detailed report, timestamps, name, server location, speed, same guy playing after 1 week. So
they're not looking at
seeing the same. Yeah, we're seeing the same ones. And the problem is sometimes we'll see the same guy and we'll see 3 to 4 different versions of his name. Is that guy really paying $20? Is there a temporary ban? Is the guy really paying $20 per time, or is there something else they're doing to be able to recreate these accounts that we don't know about? Because I can't imagine some of these guys paying hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of dollars for this game. No. I mean, maybe they are.
It's possible.
Is there something we're not realizing here?
Well, here's the thing. I understand the company not wanting to release how their hacking stuff is working, because then that gives hackers an upper hand on, you know, all right, well, your system is doing this, we're going to do this to bypass that. I understand that that's a thing, and I'm not complaining about that. The problem I have is when there's no implementation and they don't even talk about it. Jimmy, what's his last name? Jimmy Wizenhunt is everybody that's on Twitter for the H1Z1 team. He's probably the most active. He responds to tweets all the time. He hasn't talked about hackers, has not made a tweet about hackers in a while. He's not even talking about it. He's talking about, you know, 308 bullet drop and you know, commenting on Reddit posts. I mean, they know it's a problem. They know that this is a legitimate problem in their game. When do we see them step up to the plate? Now, I'm seeing people posting in chat that on their April 16th roadmap thing, it says that the anti-cheat auto-ban implementation will be in there. That's not going to happen. I mean, let's be realistic here. That's going to get pushed back.
See, I'm the person who says that it is possible it'll happen, and I want them to do it.
Of course, I think it's possible, but you just look at the patch that we just had on Thursday, and you said, there was 3 or 4 items that got pushed back to the next patch. I mean, eventually they're going to get to the point where they've got you know, one of their roadmaps is a laundry list because it's just, you know, stuff from the other patches that keep getting pushed back and pushed back and pushed back.
Well, this needs to be, and this is what I came to, and this was just what was just frustrating me the most, is this has to be the number one priority. Exactly. And we'll be talking about this priority versus some of the other things that they've been working on, whether it's the Steam trading cards that we'll be talking about, the bullet drop animation, all these other things that they're working on make no difference. They're going to lose so much of their player base of people that are just going to stop playing, and they possibly will not come back, and they will not recruit other people to the game. Because they're not dealing with the core problem.
No, they're just dealing with like loot bags on Battle Royale or their mystery spin wheel. I mean, that's the kind of stuff that they're spending their time on. And for Menace saying in chat, Jimmy said he doesn't want to talk about it since he's only a game designer. I get that, but he is the... No, Greg is the actual like guy that's supposed to be dealing with social media, but Jimmy's always tweeting about stuff. He needs to be that contact. He needs to be that intermediate between the company and the community, because nobody else is doing it. When are we going to see?
Smedley's backed off a lot. I mean, it's been a while since we've seen. He did a happy Easter tweet.
Yeah, I mean, we've got.
He's not been tweeting nearly as much.
We've got Schmedley on our website on the sidebar. We might as well just change that to Wizenhunt, because Schmedley doesn't tweet at all. Because I mean, he's had three posts since April 1st. I mean, this was a guy that was tweeting like three times an hour about stuff about the game, and now it's just. There's so much hate.
Yeah.
And
this
the thing.
Has got to be frustrating for Jimmy, because, you know, I mean, if he's listening to this or any of them listening to this, I know it's frustrating for you guys, because one of them doesn't hold the decision to be able to turn this on and do this, but they have to deal with it in the public's eye. When they are the person that's in front, they have to deal with this in the public eye. I mean, he's got to be so annoyed. Someone was telling me that they're watching his streams and that there was just Packers just porting all around him, just circles around him, just to taunt him.
Yeah.
And the fact that that happens on their streams, the it's so that there's nothing that, you know, he's got to look at that and say, this is just ridiculous. And this is embarrassing for me.
Now here's the thing, the thing we see all the time, this game's an alpha. I understand. And I got a lot of people saying, go watch something, go play another game, right? Go play a game that's finished. I am not going to stop playing the game because of hackers, right? I may change the way I play the game. I may play it less. The hackers are not going to make me stop playing the game as of right now.
Yeah.
I know that internally they're working on this, right? Even if they're not, Jimmy Wizenhunt is not putting it on Twitter, they're working on it because they know that everybody's pissed off at it. I mean, go look at Reddit. It's just hacker, 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 hacker. They know that there's a problem and they're working on it. The problem is, this is like 2 months overdue. This game is almost 3 months old. This should not be the first time they're dealing with hackers. I mean, it's not like the game went from being perfectly vanilla and then one day it was just full with hackers. It's been filled with hackers for weeks and weeks and weeks, and they keep putting out patches. They keep dealing with updating the dam. I would have rather seen the dam 3 months from now if they would have dealt with hackers. They could drop every other thing in their patch notes and just deal with hackers, and I'd be fine.
And that's what I was saying, is the whole roadmap, push it out 2 weeks and say the 2 weeks we are implementing every single anti-cheat measure that we have. Everything that's on the table, every single code, you know, the person that's doing this, we're implementing that piece this week and the next week. That's all we're working on. And that, you know, how people wouldn't care whether the dam is out, because you don't. Why go to the dam? Someone's going to teleport behind you and shoot you anyways. What's the point of even going those places? I mean, the normal players have been evacuating the main servers. When they're having to just do an exodus out of the main servers and hide on these smaller population servers, and that's probably the only reason you see medium pop on some of these servers. And then these big servers like Blackout have just become hacker versus hacker. And then the few of us that are in there, suckers, that are just getting killed every hour to 45 minutes by these guys because they happen to run across us. I mean, as I said, this has to be the number one priority, because the clans like us, if you can get the most dedicated of players like us to stop playing for a day, to all stop and play a different game together, that's pretty bad. The fact that that can happen, because, you know, for me, I'd rather, for a while, for a couple of days, I was getting everybody to do Battle Royale, and then we kind of do different things. But, you know, there's only so many days that you can say, hey, let's do Battle Royale today, just because there's no point in going into the regular game.
Yeah,
it's not going to work. You know, we're just all going to get killed, and we're going to lose all our stuff. We're going to lose all our bullets. We're us going back and forth through our base is just going to make it a bigger target today. We need to just stay away from it. And we shouldn't be having to say that. And then when we set up a little side base and they come inside of that little base that's totally enclosed, supposedly, and kill us all, there's nothing at that point you can do. And we just have to log off.
Exactly. And that's and unfortunately, that's the point we're getting to. We are logging off. We are playing other games as a clan. We have now like 6 channels in TeamSpeak that are just other games. Because what do you do? Like Brian said, you're going to run to the Pleasant Valley, you're going to get some loot from the police station, you're going to run back, and a hacker's going to no-clip in your base and kill you? What are you supposed to do at that point?
And like the one that cleared all 10 of us last night, we were in the middle of nowhere. That's the issue, is we were in Pleasant Valley, we weren't in Cranberry, we weren't in even a medium to small-sized town. We were in the middle of a field, in the middle of nowhere, and this guy comes up and clears out all 10 of us. There is no safe place to go.
Yeah.
I mean, we can't sit there. We can't even sit there and hide. We could sit there in bushes, but they've got ESP.
Yeah.
There's nothing you can do other than, and this is the problem, other than us getting to the point saying, screw it, we're going to go and we're going to get at least hacks for 5 of the people in our squad. You know, for 5 people in our clan, we're going to all use hacks, and we're going to just, when the hackers come, we're going to deal with them. Other than doing that, and that's the thing, is all these other clans have been pushed to the point of doing that.
Yeah, I bet you there are people that started off this game saying
that would never hack.
That would never hack. Wouldn't even contemplate it, and they realize the only way for them to play the game is to hack. I mean, what about PlanetSide 2? I have never played PlanetSide 2. What is the hacker situation in PlanetSide 2? Can they not pull some of the hack team from PlanetSide 2 temporarily and say, all right, guys, we really need you over here. I know Daybreak and Sony Online are not affiliated, whatever. You tell me that they can't get any of these people over? I mean, they laid off like how many people when they became Daybreak Company? Or is this the effect of an investment firm owning a game company? That's what we haven't talked about. They are owned by an investment firm. It's money, 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 money. Do they even care if the game is filled with hackers or not? Because at the end of the day, as long as this investment firm is making their money, do they even care?
See, and I don't think that that's true. I don't think it's the fact that an investment firm has purchased them, because I would think that they would be looking at the bottom line of, okay, look at the complaints, look at what we've been seeing of people talking about the hacker problem. I would think that they would look at the numbers and say, all right, we're losing this many number of players per week. If this trend continues, this is going to be bad for our bottom line. We really need to look at what is driving them away. I mean, this is numbers. This is what investors look at. And that has to be what they're looking at. You know, what is it that is causing these normal players and making it so the population, because it's a problem that's building on itself. The fact that the hackers keep coming back repeatedly and are driving away the players that aren't hacking is just creating a bigger and bigger problem that is making itself bigger because of that. There has to be a point where the hackers, they cut them out to where the normal players come back, and then it's going to balance out the number of players that are actually playing, but then you'll be able to grow and get more new players, because sure, they're getting a lot of people that are repurchasing because they got banned, but that can't be nearly as many as they would if, like, people like us, when we tell our friends about it, when we go online and tell people about it and say, hey, this game is awesome, you need to come and play. Once they lose those people, what are they going to do? The hackers aren't going to be recruiting other people to purchase this game. They're only buying the game for themselves again and again and again.
Exactly. You talk about it. We don't have a huge audience on this show, but we have a pretty decent following, right? If this is somebody's first episode watching the show and trying to learn about H1Z1, there is no chance in hell that they would purchase this game after watching this episode. I mean, they are killing themselves. And I saw somebody say in chat earlier, I don't know who said it. Actually, it was Firemage Kane said, this is the drawback to early access. The game's reputation is going to get destroyed and tarnished right now because they're not dealing with some of the
other. If you look at some of the other games on Steam that are early access, that this is the thing is they're looking at the 6 out of 10 rating on Steam. These are the numbers that people are going to look at. I've seen some other early access games that had something happen in the past, and their ratings were slammed on the rating system, and they never recovered from that. They need to be focusing on a very positive 9 out of 10 Steam rating. And right now, I'm sure they're getting tons, and I'd have to go look through them, but I'm sure they're getting tons to say the hackers are killing the game. The hackers are killing the game 1 out of 10, 1 out of 10, 1 out of 10. Percentage wise, they're shooting themselves in the foot with their rating. I mean, at some point, it had to have been 9 out of 10.
I'm pretty sure originally it was 9 out of 10.
Yeah, and the fact that they're not dealing with this hacker problem in a way that's timely, and they may be working on the hacking problem, but the fact that they're not doing it in a timely manner, making it priority number one over all visual upgrades, over all, I don't care about hats, gloves, shoes, face compartments, or you know, face slots, any of those other things, the real players don't care about that right now, because if the game is unplayable, there's no point in playing it. I don't care if you put out the grenade that I need for the mask. If they're going to instantly shoot me in the head with 380 or 380, the mask doesn't matter. Forget about it. So that's the thing, is this has to be part of, I know we've been going on about this probably for like 45 minutes now, but this is just, that's the problem. And I don't know if we need to really keep beating it, the dead horse, but
we honestly have
to keep bringing it up.
I don't think we're beating a dead horse. I mean, this is what we've been holding back. This has been a problem for people for the last 3 months. And we just haven't noticed this problem because we've been playing on a low to medium pop server. But this is, and until this changes, this is going to be infection every week. Us talking about how, yet again, we were unable to play the game, and we were forced to go play other free-to-play games because, hey, screw it. We're not going to play H1Z1 so we can just die every 45 minutes. That's what's going to stick. Every week in the Infection Podcast is just going to be, well, this is what happened with hackers this week. Well, this is what happened with this week. Oh, look at that. Their anti-cheat was pushed back another week on Roadmap. It's never going to end until they actually sit down, like Brian said, push everything off the table. Every person that is capable of programming in that company, I don't care what you're working on, pause it and deal with the hacker situation. That's what they need to do. And until they do that, this is what the community is going to look like.
Now, the thing that they should be really worried about is if we give up on talking about it. If there's a point where we just say, all right, whatever, the hacker problem is a problem, let's just talk about the change logs, and we quit even bringing this topic up, shows that we've given up. And the fact that we even say, hey, this is a problem, you know, we really love you for you to fix it. You're really hurting us. You're hurting our clan. You're hurting, I mean, I don't, the podcast doesn't matter. I mean, that doesn't matter. That has nothing to do with this. The fact that I have a tough time in going and playing with my friends because of this problem, and it's really killing our time together, you know, that's what frustrates me the most. And they just really just need to pull the act together, make this happen, and just do a Hail Mary when it comes to the hacking situation. As you said, put every resource that they can put into this, every resource. And if they could do this Hail Mary, that would save the game for them. And why they're not even saying anything about this, they keep saying, oh, hacking is on our list, hacking is on our list, hacking is on our list. How many change logs do we have to go forward, you know, and is that going to continue to be on the list? I already said this, but they need to put it so that that thing that's on, what, on the 16th, I think people said, for the auto ban detection. Yeah. You know, if someone does a teleport ban or kick, they don't even need to ban. Someone does a teleport kick. If someone does, the ESP is really tough to track. That we can use skill to overcome ESP, in my mind.
Yeah, of course you can. I mean, ESP.
But teleporting and aimbot, if they're doing headshots every single shot, if the second they come around the corner, within milliseconds, there's a headshot, there's a good chance that they're hacking. And if that happens 5-10 times in a row, or it happens to 5 subjects one right after another within 5 seconds.
Why is that not a red? Why is that not a red flag? Seeing that one per, I mean, yes, there are situations where like a car could, somebody could blow up a car and that may register that person, but they can look where there are no red flags in their back end, in their player kill logs that say, holy crap, how did this one person kill 10 people within how many seconds did it take for that guy to kill everybody last night, Brian?
It was probably 15 to 20 seconds that he went through and killed a group of 10 people.
20 seconds. You're telling me that there's no red flag. There's no threshold that says, all right, if one person's killing killing this many players in a certain amount of time, there's no red flag. For example, their April 9th update says anti-cheat. Continue our efforts to provide a better anti-cheat service and stop more cheaters. That's bull. That is copied and pasted in every single patch note so far. What anti-cheat services are in the game? Can they name me one? Because I can tell you damn well, if there's any in the game, they straight up don't work. We've never seen any hackers. And you know what their anti-cheat measure is, Brian? They're broadcasting the messages, making everybody feel better that the hackers are getting banned. That's the only reason that's in there, so that they can say, well, look at this. We're banning people. It's ridiculous.
Well, and that's the thing. Is it? Most people don't know this, but on Walker Empire, we came to an agreement with a hacking clan, because it pretty much came down to us and two other clans. We ran the other clan, from what I remember, out of the server. And it came down to us and one other clan that was a hacking clan. They were all hackers. And we were killing them so much that they finally said, hey, we need to have a truce. So we made a truce with the hacking clan. And the problem is, we go down to Pleasant Valley, we drive around and be like, oh, that person's teleporting all around. Oh, we're not supposed to shoot them. This person's running down here. Oh, there's five trucks in the middle of Pleasant Valley. They're all people from the hacking clan. We're running around Pleasant Valley just saying, oh, we can't kill this person. We'd never know if there was someone that we could have killed that was running by, because we were so careful not to kill the hacking clan and they were so careful not to kill us. There was no point in running around and doing anything anymore. And the fact that we had to come to a peace treaty with a whole hacker clan, just, and we ran out of people to even go against at that point.
It was
should be a sign.
It was a graveyard. Pleasant Valley was, we could run to the police station, run to the church, and we wouldn't see a single player. Pleasant Valley, it's the biggest town in the game. We wouldn't see a single player from the police station, from our base to the mansion, or to the mansions, to the police station, to the church, back to our base. We would not see a single other player in the game. What does that say?
Well, and that's the thing, is that's what we figured. If we go to a more populated server, we wouldn't risk running into that. But then, of course, we didn't have our peace treaty with the hacker clan. And so we saw, okay, all of a sudden now every hour we get killed by these hacker other, because there's a bunch of hacker clans, and exactly, the majority of the players felt like they were hacker clans. And you couldn't really see an honest portrayal of how many real players were out there. We'd have people where hackers were just sitting there at all the spawn points, killing new players as they spawned in, just for the fun of it. It's just frustrating. And I know Ferment from our clan has offered to help them with the anti-cheat, because he's done work with Counter-Strike's anti-cheat. And, you know, and that would be awesome. If they don't have the people in-house to be able to handle the anti-cheat properly, and they need to be a team that's big enough to realize and say, hey, maybe this is an area where we're lacking. Maybe this is an area where we don't have the right people to be able to cover this one area. Maybe we have people that know how to design a game, but maybe we don't have the NIG people that we need. That's where they need to look at it and turn around and say, okay, well, let's bring in those people, even if they're temporary, to help us get a foot going on this NIG. They need to bring in those people, because the current system, if it's not implemented, whatever they've been working on for however many months, if it's not implemented soon, I think a lot of people have, as some of them have said in chat, they've given up playing. They once in a while check in and say, hey, you know, has the hacking problem been dealt with? But there's so many people that have stopped playing altogether.
Yeah. And people in our clan, I mean, our TeamSpeak, we've got the TeamSpeak link, or the TeamSpeak channel, on the sidebar of our website. And I refreshed it around 6 p.m. Eastern. There's like four people in TeamSpeak. 6 p.m. Yeah. Eastern, the server would be full of people. We'd have like 15 people on. But I didn't even bother launching TeamSpeak today. What was I going to do? Join the game and get killed by a hacker?
Yeah.
At what point? And I think Brian, you said it the other day. you put a tweet out and you said like something like our clan is reaching the boiling point or something. Where what else are we supposed to do?
Yeah.
Can we continue playing your game? No, we really can't, because every single time we try to play, we get screwed.
Yeah. And that's the thing. Heisenberg in chat, he says he'll confess he reported the hacking clan. But the problem is we had some people in our group that were even reporting the people that we had the peace treaty with, and those people were still not getting banned. You know, those reports were coming in. And when it comes down to us versus one other group of people, and that half is cheating, and we never see those people go away, what does that say?
Off to another server. That's exactly what it says. Pack your bags, head off to another server, because it's a standstill. It's a complete standstill. And they have to figure out soon. And here's the thing. I'm not asking for them to release a patch tonight and have all the hack problems be gone. I understand what kind of undertaking it must take to deal with the hackers. I get that. But they need to be public with this stuff. When was the last time they referenced hackers besides this other, continuing our efforts to provide better anti-cheat? Why are they not saying, guys, we understand there's a hacking problem. Why are there no server-side checks on speed? Why are there no server-side checks on locations? Where are those in? Why aren't they in there? Those are the easiest possible things they could do right now. They could have one of their programmers sit down and have that done and implemented and rolled out in 15 minutes just to do a simple check on what somebody's speed is in the server. Simple as that. But it's not implemented. Why isn't it implemented? Why are they waiting till the April 16th patch to put any type of anti-cheat into the game?
Now, Mega Matt, he's making a comment, and this is something I know we've talked about in the past, is, don't confuse these guys with hackers, calling them hackers and giving them more credit when they're really just cheaters.
Of course.
And that is true. I mean, we early on in these broadcasts, we pretty much said, all right, we will call them hackers, but really, here's what they really are. And we're not saying that they even have the ability to do anything. We actually have a video, if you go to our YouTube channel, of us just mocking and tormenting a supposed hacker in Gary's mod. It's Nick and I were in there with a couple of their clanmates, and we were just taunting this kid who had no clue what he was doing. He downloaded something off the internet and now could speed hack in Gary's mod and do all these things. There are some people like Ferment understands hacks, and he has the ability to make all kinds of things and do what he wants. He is a hacker, right? A true hacker. Like, he has the ability to do it. These kids who are going out and paying this small amount of money to be able to have these updated hacks at any time, those people are not true hackers. Just because if someone who can not say they're a programmer, because they downloaded YouTube videos of people programming and they watch those. And that's the equivalent of what these people are doing. But that's the thing is if you make it to where, and I don't know what kind of a punishment they can really do other than ban them, but make it so that the bans happen so quickly that they're not going to be renewing their game every day. Obviously, the amount of time they're getting to play, they feel like there's enough reward in the amount of time that they get to play before they're banned to make it worth it. And so I really doubt that they're being banned every day for cheating. But they need to make it to where, all right, if I go on and I do these cheats, almost guaranteed that within an hour, I will be banned. It's not worth going out and spending another $20.
Exactly. But obviously that's not the case, because they are going out and they're spending the money over and over and over again.
Yeah. And that's where I feel that there's got to be enough of a reward for them. The amount of time that they're getting to play and not getting either getting reported and not getting banned has to be worth it for them. So that shows that there's got to be a decent number that are in there. That'd be a decent amount of number of time that they're getting to play and not get banned. It's got to be enough. They got to be getting a week out of it or something. And the fact that they're able to do teleports every day, speed hacks and all these different things every day, constantly throughout the day, and get maybe a week out of it, it makes no sense, because it should be instant.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I mean,
okay, let's talk about, I mean, there's, you got in here loot and population and with the new server. We've been really happy with the new server. And so, as I said, we're at Bloodscorn. And not that, as we said, it's not that it's perfect. There are still our hackers, but we haven't run into them as much, and we haven't been going to the populated area. Now, when we were in Pleasant Valley, we kept running into them. the same ones. But the problem is when we were on blackout, we were running into 10 different hackers in Pleasant Valley. I mean, it's not like we were getting repeats. You'd have enough, you'd be able to get a fresh one every time. There were so many. And so, you know, those are still, the problems are there. We understand that. But as far as the server, I think finding the medium high server and not one that's consistently high has worked a lot better for us. And we've left the populated area. And I think that for the clans that are legitimate like us, that they have to leave those populated areas. And that's pretty much what we've come to. And not that we want to. And we'd love to be downtown Pleasant Valley. Because I feel like we can go head to head with any other non-hacking clan. And the problem is we don't have the opportunity to even do that. So population wise, I think we're lower than what we could be doing as a clan, but because the field is not level, that this is what we're having to do.
Yeah. Now we're moved now. We're gonna give this a try.
I mean, it may be next wipe that after, if they implement this anti-cheat stuff, next wipe things are 20 times better than they are now.
Well, here's the thing. We still have our base on blackout. So once the hackers are dealt with, we can go back to blackout. Like we already have a foothold on blackout. So I would just got to hope that
and we have a really nice base on there.
It's exactly the same as our old base.
I mean, if they implemented this and the hacker population cut in half, we could go back to blackout and handle it if it was cut in half.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, if hacker here, hacker, I know we're done with the hacker stuff, but a hacker here, hacker there, we can deal with. It's when the entire server's hacking. That's
when when you feel like that you're some of the only ones that aren't hacking, that's where the problem comes.
Yeah, which is what it almost looks like.
So, okay, now, so some of the changes that they've done, I have patch notes. So we have the Big Dam patch actually happened after. I know we covered a lot of those things. So it's kind of tough when we're doing a roadmap versus what really happened. I don't know. At what point do you want to cover the Big Dam patch?
I mean, I think we covered the Big Dam patch. I don't know we covered it all. I mean, the dam is out. They added a new gun. There's ammo for the M9. There's ammo for the three.
I mean, you're able to break down. I mean, so we went over this last week and we'll be covering some of the things that are going to be on the next one, but the zombie population dropped, and we'll be talking about that here in just a little bit. They have workbenches. You can break down ammo. These are all things that they added in this patch. Mm-hmm. The dam I've hardly gone down to. I mean, I went and looked at it, but the problem is we avoid those areas so much now that, you know, I don't want to hang out there because it's not really worth going there, because that's, you're going to an area of focus. So I really want to go to the dam more. And on this new server, you know, we may get a group together and go through and just thoroughly check out the dam. But I think that that'll be something that right now, until they get the problems with the hackers cut back some, that's going to be a place that a lot of normal players will be avoiding. The starting area for Battle Royale change, we kind of teased and showed some teaser clips of that. That's fully implemented. Mm-hmm. One thing I never understood is why they have cars in the starter area. I mean, do you have a legitimate answer?
No, I don't think so.
I think it's just more for fun. I mean, they just made it to where you would distract. I think they came to the decision that if you distracted people from just having to stand there, that they wouldn't be saying so many weird things. And it seems like it did. It seems like when they added all those distractions inside of the starter area, that there's a lot less people yelling and screaming and playing music and doing weird things. So, or maybe it's just spread people out to where they're not all right next to each other and you just don't hear it anymore. So now one thing they added here, and this, I think it was today they added this, is the Steam trading cards. And that's something that I've already got, I think, three.
Yeah.
Steam trading cards now. And if you look at the video, they put a picture up there with Burning Zombie, and it's a super low res picture. That's a comment that you said.
Yeah, it's I'm trying to show it right here. But there it is. Now, I actually said this before the show, I was saying, you know, why are they wasting their time with the trading card and stuff? This may be something that they give Steam and then Steam implements it, because it is a Steam trading card.
Yeah. I mean, there is a process with Steam that they create the cards, you know, they're just having to do this and implement it. But Steam does all the layout for it. One thing is Ferment went through and got the badge that you get from having a certain number of cards. And he got that. And the picture is just, it's a guy's face from inches away. I mean, if you look at it, it's not like a really good trading card. It's not, or a badge. It's not something you'd be like, oh, I really want to get this badge. It's just a horrible looking face.
This is stuff. This game is too alpha to be worrying about trading cards. Like, I understand Steam has some like a process in this as well. But the fact that there's like people on their team that are wasting their time on this just like beyond pisses me off. Right? I mean, no. Really, the game is 3 months old and you're worrying about trading cards already? Like, there's got to be something more important for these people to be working on. I'm not talking just dealing with hackers. Well, but there's got to be some type of game feature that they should be working on.
Look at the low res graphics on this. It could be that they paid one of their employees. They said in the afternoon, all right, we need to fill picture slots and come with categories for this number of items. And they may have just threw it out there, got it done. And all right, fine.
I hope the guy, you're right.
Public perception is that this is what they're working on when they shouldn't be working on this. Now, being the optimist, as I said, I think that, you know, they're probably just getting it out there because this is something a Steam offers and they feel like they need to have it. But why are they putting in the resources and putting these cards unless they can go through later and redo all the graphics for these cards? And maybe they can. If they can do that, that's fine. But it seems like they're putting in these in for placeholder. I'm sure that then at some point later, they're going to go through and actually put in high quality, cool looking graphics for each of these pictures. So that's something that you'd be like, hey, I want to trade you this card and actually looks good.
Actually, here right is, now, Ferment just sent me this screenshot. I think this is a higher res. This is like a full. I just zoomed it in, so it may look a little distorted, but this is, I think these are his. And there's a bunch of, I don't know if these are his or somebody else's. But these are all these the ones, are the that ones are in the game.
These are his.
No. These are all the ones in the game. You can see how many he has, I think, with the little arrow.
So he's looking at the full list,
but they're
just like some of them are stock graphics from like that one with the zombie face right there. These are just screenshots. These guys have the full capabilities of exporting full 3D resolution, 3D shots, freeze frames that are super high quality, perfect lighting. But they're just like the zombie repellent. That's
literally
a little corner like, of one of their screenshots. No,
literally, the survivor radio was them going into the game, pressing F12, throwing it in Photoshop, and cropping it like 40 and rotating it like 45 degrees. That's their trading card. Like, why even waste your time on that? Like, deal with something else. Like, really? Like, this is what we're wasting our time on? Is this garbage? It, here's the thing. It's not even good. Like, these are just crappy screenshots. The first picture, or the second picture, the H1Z1 Survivor, is an image that they've been using since they were talking about the game 8 months ago.
Yeah.
Like, that's a stock picture.
These aren't new, fresh graphics that they made for these. And that's why I think there's a good chance that this is just stuff that they threw in as placeholder. And that's fine if they did that. But don't mark it as a big, hey, we released this today. Because that's not, I mean, I'm not going to focus on getting that burning zombie low res picture is one of my trading cards.
I don't get it.
I could care less. Now, Jason in chat, he says, why don't they do server rentals? Those are the type of things that they should be focusing on. I mean, they're looking at how can we start bringing back money, because they're not going to be making a huge amount of money off of these Steam trading cards, I assume. Mm-hmm. I don't know that they get some sort of a cut from the trades or something, but I can't imagine that that is a huge moneymaker for them. But if they were to go through, like for us, if they were to go through and let us rent a server, and then, you know, we could do a Patreon or something for the clan, and then part of that money goes towards the clan server, that would be a good use of money for us and for them. They, you know, they could have servers that they have to do minimal management on. Let us manage it. We'll even let people play on it. But it makes no sense that they don't. That there's no word of that. Like, I haven't heard anything about that on the roadmap. So I assume that's not even in their scope right now.
Now, this is actually a cool thing. Just to get off the hacker stuff for a little bit. Fighters in our chat posted this this picture. He did a before and after. And this is actually pretty cool. So he took a screenshot from the game. I'm showing that right now. And it's just a zombie backlit walking up with the sun behind him. And then he's got a bow in his hand. And then the after picture is this. He added like a lens flare to it. He brightened up the sky. And it's just like a cool community picture that he's done there. So that's just something cool to look at. So thanks for that, Fighters. Oh, it's nice to see. You see that stuff on Reddit. Like I recommend him post this on Reddit if he hasn't already. But you see this stuff from time to time on Reddit where somebody goes in there and takes a photo and retouches it and stuff. So,
and yeah, I think actually that flare is from the game.
No, because he shows his raw and it's not in there.
Oh, okay. Because I've seen some of those. There are some of those in the game at different places. And we've had some people send in graphics, and I'm going to be adding some of those to our photo section here this week of ones that were sent in this past week. And then like that, it would be perfect for a background if you want a background. We have some other ones that for backgrounds that if you want to go and download them for your computer, you're more than welcome to do that.
Now, Brian, somebody did send us a graphic.
Yes.
And it's for one of our segments. We did tips of the in the middle of the show last week, we decided we were start doing tip of the week. We were going to start giving you a tip. And then somebody in chat was like, hey, we want a beginner and an advanced tip. So we decided that we're going to be doing tips of the week where we give you a beginner and an advanced tip. And we have a graphic and an intro. I tested full disclosure. I tested it before the show and it worked. So we're going to give this a try. It's time for tips of the week. Bam, it worked. I'm excited.
Nice.
Did you hear it, Brian?
Yeah, I heard the audio.
Okay, it worked.
And if you're listening, I mean, that for you, that can just be an audio intro, but there is a graphic that's animated.
There you go. It's not just Brian and I sitting here awkwardly, like Brian taking a sip out of his water bottle while the song plays in the beginning. So there you go.
So, okay, so for the beginner tip, and this is one that is for anybody who's starting, whether it's not necessarily for Battle Royale, but when you are beginning, the initial things that you want to do, especially with them increasing, they say that they're going to be increasing more zombies here in the next week or so. They're supposed to be getting some of that population back. But I've noticed that like yesterday I got trapped in the fire station and actually got killed because of so many zombies. But one thing you to control, if there's 3-4 zombies coming at you, the thing that you really need most is a bow. Because that seems to be much more effective than swing at them with a hatchet or something like that, because you can't kill them fast enough when they're coming at you that many. So the first tip is to create a bow by ripping up your shirt. So if you're in a place where you can see sticks, these different sticks that you can run around and pick up, first of all, actually shred your shirt, because you don't want to fill up that pocket. You'll run into the problem that if you put a stick in your shirt pocket, you can then not shred it. So first thing you want to do is take off your shirt, shred it, and then go and pick up a bunch of sticks. You'll then be able to make a bow. And if you don't see it in your list of items, and because this is the beginner tip, we're going to actually explain it from the beginning. If you don't see it in your list of craftable items, you need to go through and research that and learn how to make a bow. So I guess this is kind of a 2-in-1 tip, because what you can do is go to the crafting section, go to learn, and then start selecting different items in your inventory and see if you can learn to craft something from that. And you'll find that, okay, one time I can do a water bottle and berries. Okay, learn. Okay, that makes the berry juice. Next time you go through, you won't be able to select. It'll keep hiding things that there's nothing you can learn from those items. So just keep going through. You're not going to be able to learn everything, but learn how to make the bow. And then you need to learn how to make arrows, which are, you know, get your sticks and hit learn with that. You'll learn how to make arrows. And then you can instantly craft a bow and set of arrows. And if you're a newer person at this game, you really need to know and learn how to play with a bow, because that's incredibly important. We go through different times of having a lot of ammo and no ammo. And a bow is what's going to save you, especially when there's 20 zombies around you and you're stuck up on top of a van or something trying to stay away from them. You'll have to clear out. The zombies will not go away. So if you have a stack of sticks in your bag, you can sit there and take them out enough to be able to get away. And another thing is, if you go through houses and pick up a lot of shirts, hats, pants, these different items, they're what, 50 to 25. I think they're 25 for some things. as far as space in your bag or in your shirt. So shred those things, then it makes them cloth. And then if you shred enough of them, you'll be able to make a satchel. And so you can learn that from cloth. And that'll make it so you have a bag that's 300 slots. And so you'll have a bow, you'll have a bag, and you'll be ready to go out and looting. So that's our beginner tip. And that's a tip for a new spawn. Our advanced tip is that when you're storing items, and let's say in a base or if you have a shack or something, you really need to sometimes store something because you aren't able to move things around. You can store things in rabbit traps, barbecues, and furnaces. Now, you need to be careful what you store in a furnace or a barbecue, because if it's lit, let's say you want to put sheet metal and temporarily store it in a furnace.
Yeah.
Well, that's going to turn into metal bars. And if then if you convert them back to sheet metal, you know, if you convert things back, you're going to lose things at some point. So you really need to be careful about that. And keep in mind, where am I placing items, you know, to store them? So if you have a rabbit trap, you can store things in a rabbit trap temporarily. If you're going to store something in a chest, you need to be careful of how they're stacked in the chest. Because let's say you have 10 cloth here, 20 cloth here. You really need to focus on stacking those things in the chest, because it will count those things as two slots that are taken. When you're storing in chests, it doesn't matter how many cloth you have. You could have 500 cloth. We've had 1,000 cloth in there. That counts as one item that when there's a limited number of items in that chest that you can store. You can have 1,000 of each thing, or you can have one of each thing. You'll store the same number of things. And so that's one thing to keep in mind. That for chests, stack everything you can. With barbecues and furnaces and rabbit traps, I found it actually looks at the size of the items. So even if you stack things, there is a limit of how much space you can use in a furnace and a barbecue. It doesn't actually let you stack 1,000 sheet metal or something. It actually looks at how much space the sheet metal are using and limits it in that way.
Yeah. So that's nice. And we were dealing with that a lot originally in our base, because we didn't have enough materials to make as many chests as we had for stuff, so we were putting stuff in rabbit traps, we were putting stuff in furnaces, and putting stuff in barbecues. And then once we were able to get our chest situation and get enough supplies to build more chests under control, then we were able to move stuff into that. But organization is really important, especially when you've got a group of 20 people. You've got people running, Brian, we can attest to this, there's somebody in our, man, his name's escaping me, but there's somebody in our group that constantly organizes our chests for us.
Cram it.
And it's a godsend, because you've got guys running back and forth to Pleasant Valley, and they're saying, oh, there's more stuff there. You know, they're just dropping everything in one chest. They're running out. I mean, there's, you know, cooked rabbit, sheet metal, and nails in the same chest, and a vehicle battery. It's like, what is this chest? I mean, you've got just so many different things in there. So it's nice to make sure... keep stuff organized, and then when you need to find stuff, it makes it a whole lot easier.
Yeah.
So that's tips of the week.
Tips of the week.
Yeah, there we go. And we'll try to keep up with those every week. I think the sarcasm was high when people are saying nice job on the intro. It was very last minute, but it got done, and it's not Brian and I, you know, sitting there awkwardly. So we're good. Hope you guys enjoyed. And if you have a suggestion for a tip, Twitter, Reddit, Google+. Contact form on the website, email. If you have a tip and it's something that we're not covering, it's something you want covered, go ahead and send that to us, and we'll be sure to bring that up in next week's show or whenever you submit stuff like that. So we appreciate your support on that.
All right. And so here's another thing that they're implementing. This is actually will be in the next patch, but they're tweaking how when you make a shot, like with a 308, and it hits... Because right now, if you shoot, it's hard to see whether or not you missed and by how much. And so what they've done is make it so that when you hit the dirt, like you miss and you hit the dirt, a little bit of dirt kind of kicks up. So you have a better idea of where that is missing. And if you look, it's actually a video or an animated GIF. I don't know if you want to show it.
Now, the reason before we get into that, I'm showing a video right now. And the reason for... Jimmy adding this is there's a video here from a live streamer, and he is playing a battle royale, and he puts probably 20 bullets into these two guys with the sniper rifles, and no matter where he aims, above, below, in the middle, he can't hit them. No matter where he aims, he keeps trying. He is repositioning his dots. He gets no hits at all. And Jimmy commented on this, and this guy must be beyond pissed. I mean, like, he's in like the last like five in Battle Royale, and he can't get a shot off on these guys. So Jimmy put a tweet out, and it's a Giphy cat, and there it is. And it just shows some simple, like, dirt animations. Kind of hard to see on stream, but some dirt animations. If you miss, you get these dirt animations, so you can.
Now, Ferment is making a comment. He's like, you know, he's aiming completely wrong. But that's the thing, is when you can't see where the target is landing, or where the trajectory is landing, it's hard to know that you're aiming completely wrong. Ferment has gone through and actually measured, all right, when I'm 100 yards, here's how much drop. When I'm 200 yards, here's how much drop. Most people haven't gone through and done that. So realistically, they don't know how much they're missing by. And so that's the thing, is you really have to learn the drop of the gun, and this will help a lot of people learn that. And if you look in chat, you can pull up that picture that Ferment made.
Yeah,
and it's actually how much drop at 100 meters, 150 meters, 200 meters that you will have on a bullet. And he went through and measured it.
Yeah, now that's what we're showing. We have the problem is, like, for example, for me, I couldn't tell you if somebody was 100, 150 meters or 200 meters out. I mean, like, where do you aim? I haven't used the 308 enough where I would know that. And in this case, this guy's doing all he can do. He's aiming above. He's aiming in the middle. He's aiming below.
And it seems like one of those shots, with how he was doing it, one of them should have hit, because he was doing
it. At least one of them should have hit.
He was doing right on. He was doing one dot above. You know, that's ridiculous that it's not working.
Yeah, and because there's no feedback, he's just shooting and shooting and shooting, and then he gets killed.
Yeah, and someone suggested, well, why don't we have a target? They need to put a target in game that we can craft to go through and just shoot at. That'll say, all right, here's where you're hit. And maybe if you craft a target and you make it and you place it out there, maybe have a little hit box next to you that shows you where you hit on that target. You know, or, you know, something that pops up on the screen saying, here in the target, here's where you hit when you shoot the target. That would be a good way for people to kind of go in and tune their skills with shooting a 308. It just makes no sense to me that this is something that they're finally implementing. I mean, it's great that they're doing it, but most people don't realize at all how much they're missing by with a 308.
Yeah.
And so most people are really lousy with a 308.
I don't even bother picking up a 308, because every time I pick it, I have no clue where to aim. I couldn't tell you if somebody was 100 meters out or 200 meters out. I'd just be guessing, to be honest with you. So I don't bother using it. I stick with the AR or the shotgun. That's a good feature. And now what I'll do is, once this is implemented, I'll go into Battle Royale and I'll play around.
Yeah.
And I'll be able to see and say,
oh, when they're about that, because you've got to learn that in your head.
Yeah.
They're about this far away. I took a shot, and you'll train your mind to where you're like, okay, I'm guesstimated at this distance. I probably should do visually at this distance. I should be aiming here and learning that. You know, if they're not going to put a thing that says the current target you're aiming at is 200 meters away, you have to learn how to do that in your head. And it's not something that happens automatically. You know, you have to do it over time.
Yeah. So that's a good feature, and we'll look forward to that soon.
Now, I actually have another one below that's called bullet trajectory, and it shows what the bullet trajectory is. And from what I could tell, because Wizenhunt, he went through and shared this, and I assume that this is in-game, the actual bullet trajectory, and not a real-life bullet trajectory, because he was saying he was getting so many people sending him messages about bullet trajectory that he was going crazy. And so I don't know if someone was actually putting this as a legitimate Lapua sonar fired at. It's kind of hard to say. This looks like it may be a real bullet trajectory, and I don't know if this has anything to do with the game's bullet trajectory or if theirs is just a straight line. And it seems like from the graphic that Ferment sent that it seems like it's a straight line from top to bottom of, okay, you're this far away and it just goes down. It's not like this arching curve that we see in this real life bullet trajectory.
Yeah. So yeah, this is probably a real,
it seems like this is the bullet trajectory for a real sniper rifle.
Now I've got some comments in chat saying sniping is a skill. Don't make it easy. There's a difference between making it easy and making it possible. Right. Now, if I was to pick up a sniper rifle, the guy playing this looked like he'd used a sniper rifle more than once before. His first shot was I think above the guy's head. So he was somewhat experienced with a sniper rifle. Exactly. So this is we're not talking about making it easy. We're not saying, "Oh, put a big red dot where you need to aim." We're saying make it so that there's some feedback where if I'm trying to use a sniper rifle, me not having as much experience can say, all right, it hit the dirt below him. It looks like I have to aim a little bit higher. Just like you have to do with the arrow when you're shooting from a far distance, right? You have to aim above the head. You get the arc.
He had some where they were, like, let's say you put it right at the top of their head with the drop. It should have at least hit them in the body a couple of times there. I mean, there was just, if it was hitting the dirt in front of those people, there was no sign or any reason that would indicate that he should be aiming that much higher above than what he did. So that's someone in the chat says that, you know, give some feedback to make corrections on mistakes. And that's what this does. You know, having a little bit of dirt particles that come up and kind of give you a visual idea, just like it would in real life for the most part. I mean, if you go out to the desert and you shoot a gun and you're shooting long distance, you will see generally where you hit around it. And that's what they're putting in here.
Yeah.
That's what they're needing to do so that you can train your mind, because not everybody is Call of Duty pros. Not a lot of people are people that have played a lot of these other first person shooters and sat there and just trained their minds on how to shoot with certain types of rifles. And so this is a perfect little tool for them to be able to say, all right, I was short on that one, raise it up and learn how to shoot a gun. Because, you know, with our clan, we could go through and have an hour, you know, Ferment says a 2-hour shooting lesson. And going through and teaching everybody how to use a sniper rifle, we have the luxury of doing that as a group. Most people are learning on the fly and getting killed usually by the second or third shot.
Exactly. So that'll be nice. And thank you, Daybreak. This is a useful feature. This is a core game feature. I would classify that as a core game feature. Makes the gun usable, makes it easier for people to play. That is a core game feature.
Okay, now here's a non-core game feature that I'm sure you're going to love.
Yeah, I was looking at this earlier.
So it used to be that torches would set people on fire. And so there's actually an animated GIF here that you can show in stream, a post from Jimmy as well, that shows them going through and setting people on fire again when you hit them with a torch. So that's something that they're going to be implementing into the game in an upcoming patch. They said it works on players right now. It's not working on zombies as far as in their patch. Not working on zombies yet, but they're hoping to get it in this week. So that's the kind of stuff that they're working on. I understand these are graphics guys, but there are coders in the background making these fire effects happen.
Yeah.
And using their time when we, you know, as we beat to death about the hackers, have them come up with other graphics that even if they don't implement them right now, don't work on this. I could care less about hitting someone with a torch, which almost nobody has anyways, and having them set on fire.
Yeah, good luck getting close enough to somebody to light them with a torch if they have a gun. That's a real useful weapon.
Now, we had somebody last night, as a joke in our clan, put a landmine in front of our workbench. Of course, me and one other person died when this happened, not because I stood on it, but because I was in the base when it went off, and it's got a huge range of when a landmine goes off as far as explosion and who it kills. And we have a fire underneath of our base that has not gone out yet. It'll be 24 hours now. And there's just this fire burning underneath of our base that will not go out. And so our base is visible from, I don't know how many hundreds of meters away, whatever the visual range is. when anybody runs around, they see this fire burning underneath of our base, and it will not go away.
Well, where and now? What this is on?
Ferment says it's still burning.
What server is this on?
This is on Bloodscorn. This is our new base that we just built.
And where is the base on Bloodscorn? I think you said at the beginning of the show.
So, but. I'm not going to give.
No, of course, but is it?
It's on the southern half of the map, in the middle of nowhere.
Okay.
And so that's the thing is this bug, you know, you can put in these raised dirt now. So we did that and we assume that's what's burning. It's the very center of the raised dirt.
Wonderful.
But why does that burn? Why does dirt burn?
It's a feature. Don't worry about it.
Okay. Why are they working on making the players burn rather than fixing the fact that bases will sit there and burn forever?
Brian, I wish I could give you an answer, Brian. I really could. I mean, honestly, I mean, at this point, I don't know.
They're so concerned about players catching on fire. Well, why is dirt catching on fire?
I want to, Brian, for once, I want to try to be positive, but I don't have the slightest clue what the priority of this game dev team is. It's like, it seems like majority of it is just like them like goofing around and trying to have fun. And I know that's not what it is, but that's from me being a player of this game, that's what it looks like, because the stuff that they're posting publicly is fun stuff. Them driving a Jeep around Battle Royale, them lighting players on fire, like that's kind of the stuff.
Well, and this is really what we've harped on enough before, but they really need some focus.
Yeah.
And that's my feeling on this, is that they have a list, they have a roadmap. They need to have someone who is totally dedicated to this, come in and say, all right, you guys are off base. There are things happening here that don't need to happen. Rome is burning, right? There are probably not just our base, but Rome is burning. We need to really look at the fact of what's happening here. And you guys stop working on these silly side things for a while. Google gives you 10% time to work on silly side projects. Maybe they need to take on that type of mentality. For 90% of the time, you are working 100% on the things that we view as essential.
But that's the problem, is H1Z, I don't even know if, like, I don't know who's like their project manager or who's managing these people, but I don't even think they know, Brian, I don't even think themselves know what the main problem is and what they need to be working on. I think it's just like a total free-for-all, somebody walks over and is like, hey, Jimmy, check out this feature I just put in the game. And then they just kind of go in and play. Like, I hope that's not how it's happening, but seeing what we see, that's what it feels like. Somebody just messes around, they, like, tell one of the other designers or developers to take a look at it, and then now we've got a post on Reddit. Like, that's what seems like it is.
And that's where they really need a just totally focused team manager, a director, that's going to go through and say, all right, here's your 90% tasks. 90% of the time, here's the tasks you're working on. The majority of that is the hacking. These bugs that we're seeing, you know, that is your 90% of the time. So this many hours of the day, you are working on this. The 10% that's left, you can work on setting your friends on fire. You can work on driving in first person mode, which who cares in my mind? When the hackers are a problem,
yeah.
Who cares about the first person driving? Who cares about sending your friends on fire? We could come up with a list. Bullet trajectory, as you said, is a core game item. Steam trading cards, that's 10% of the time. They could say, hey, and that's a great thing about Google, is they'll say, hey, this is a 90-10 rule. Now, if that's where they could say, hey, this is something I came up with in my 10% time. And someone says, hey, all right, we put out the Steam trading cards. That would make the hate coming into the developers so much less, because they would say, oh, that's your 10% time. That's fine.
Exactly.
But people feel like that this is their 90% time, is coming up with Steam trading cards, coming up with setting your friends on fire, coming up with first person driving, you name it. People feel like that is the majority of what they're working on, and that the hacking is the 10%, and they need to reverse that image.
Now, let's be clear. These guys, I'm going to say it, they are working their asses off. They're doing patches at 2 and 3 a.m. Pacific. That means that they've got members of their team that are working until 5 or 6 in the morning the next day to get these patches rolled out. We are not sitting here and saying, oh, you guys aren't doing anything. This is just a big, all you're doing is goofing around. They are working. But what they're working on is the problem. They do these patches at 3 a.m. There's people there at 3 a.m., Brian, right?
Yeah.
You've got designers there, you've got developers there and you've got your server guys there at all at 2 or 3 a.m. And when something goes wrong, like it did on the Thursday patch, guarantee you there's phones ringing at 3 or 4 a.m. saying, this is a problem. You guys need to come in here now. And then there's people coming into work. They are working. There is no doubt in my mind. They're putting the time into the game. They're dedicated to the game. But they just need a little more focus. And maybe they're saying in chat, maybe there's too many issues at once. They might just be overwhelmed. Like, there are so many things in this game that are totally broken right now that they just probably are overwhelmed. But like I said, and like you said, Brian, and like people in chat are saying, priority is hacking. New player model, new character model, base, all that stuff comes after. Hacking is the main priority right now.
And that's why I said if they could come up with like what Google does, say, this is my 90% and have some way to say, this is my priority. Here's something I did on my side time, you know, as a little extra thing, but this is not mainly what I've been working on. If they could have some way to actually say that to people, I think that that would cause people to respect what they're doing a little bit more. As they're saying in chat, you know, maybe these things that we're seeing, the small things, maybe they are spending a little bit of time. Maybe they're spending a lot of time on these things. We don't really have a way of knowing. We're just seeing that that seems to be like what they're getting excited about and they're posting about on Twitter. And that should be not what they're getting excited about. It should be, hey, dude, we just implemented something that we think that is going to really impact the hacking situation. And I'm excited about that. Let me post it. That would make people go, wow, okay, I'm going to go check it out again. I'm going to come back into the game and maybe I haven't played for a while.
Yeah.
When it's setting your friends on fire and people see those as the posts, people aren't going to be going, oh, I'm going to want to go back into the game so I can see my friend getting set on fire. That's not going to drive them back in. But the developers, even if they're not super excited about that, but if they just put it out there and say, hey, this is something, and maybe they should be excited about it just because it is going to move the game forward and make it more playable. It seems like they're not that excited about the game being playable. They're excited about having a lot of little things in there. The little things need to come, right? They need to come up with, and I talk about the time sinks, the time fillers, all those things need to come. But if you're going to build a house, you need to have a good foundation first. And they get so excited about, you know, something they're putting on the roof when they haven't even finished the foundation yet.
Yeah. So let's get into some other stuff. We've got one more quick thing here. The April 9th update, which is in their roadmap, and the title says April 9th update, and then in brackets, in progress. So stuff will be added to this, and that April 9th patch thing will happen Thursday. So after the show, we'll be able to cover it next week. Restraints, they're going to add this has been something that people have wanted for a while. The ability to handcuff and zip tie players, that's going to be...
Because it brings that whole role-playing. I mean... Exactly. The whole role-playing aspect. But, okay, so here's my worry, and I'm going to get this out of the way now. My worry is that hackers will be able to instantly zip-tie you. Rather than kill you, they'll just run around zip-tying everybody and handcuffing them, just whole groups of them, and people are stuck there, and they'll have to respawn. That's going to be even more demoralizing because you'll just wish you could get out of it. And we'll have to keep 100... things to come and unlock people's handcuffs in our base and say, oh, we're all handcuffed again. Can someone who's not handcuffed come and save us?
You're just going to have to kill yourself. You just have to do a respawn to get out
of it. That is my fear. You know, okay, this is great, but that is my fear. And so I'm saying that because I just have a feeling that this may be a new hack and it's going to be coming up. You know, okay, someone's in chat saying, tie up those hackers. That'd be funny is if you do a teleport, you instantly get zip tied on the ground. Someone can come and rob you. That would be funny.
That would be fun. Now, one of the next things they're doing in this April 9th is they're doing their first pass at crafted armor. So you'll be able to craft armor. Now, I imagine, and this is just how it's going to work, it's their first pass, so it's probably not going to work too well. That's just how this first pass stuff kind of works. It'll probably be a little buggy. We're not really going to know how it affects you. And hopefully that stuff will come out as well. They're going to add death screen statistics. This will be good for people that are like really hardcore into the game and aren't getting killed by hackers every 45 minutes. But it'll add some information to the death screen about the sessions. For example, you know, how long you survived, maybe how many kills you got in this life, stuff like that as well. Again, they say anti-cheat, bug fixes.
Bug fixing.
And now this is a big one for us, Brian. Walking in water. This might be a problem. Players, wildlife, zombies, and vehicles will now move slower while going through water. This is a problem.
Well, this may be a problem. Yeah, in the future, once we can get back to that area, because we go through water a lot. Now, of course, when we're sniping people, once we get back to our normal base, they will be moving through water more slowly, so we'll have an easier time shooting them.
Yeah.
So this can be a benefit as well. One thing I have not understood, we're so used to, and when I first started playing the game, I ran around all the water because I didn't realize that you could run through it and that it was only 2 feet deep.
Yeah, there's no depth.
That, to me, that seems totally normal now, when it shouldn't be. Why there's no depth, these water areas should be actual things that you're not able to go through unless they come up with some sort of a military vehicle that can traverse water. You know, that could be something they could implement it, but I think water should be, if it's deep water, something you can't go through.
Or the ability to swim.
Why do they not have depth? You could swim and that's incredibly slow. Is it because they didn't want to do the animation for the swimming?
But here's the thing.
Probably what it is.
Brian, you're swimming. You're not hosting a gun while you're swimming. You're swimming, right? There's not going to be any gun. You're going to put your gun in your back or your pistol in your holster and you're going to swim. So now you're a sitting duck. Nobody's going to want to swim. Because you're defenseless until you can get to a ground where you can stand up. Is what I think they should
do.
That would work.
Yeah. And that should be what they implement. And that's what I assumed would happen if I would have gone in the water. I've assumed either I would have died if I would have gone in the water or I'd have had to have swam. And I just never went through the water. I always ran around it because I assumed that would be faster. And then you see people just running through the water. And I was like, oh, I can go and just run across the water as if it's land. What's the point of having the water there? And now they're going to have you go through more slowly. But what was the point of the water? It was purely cosmetic at that point.
Yeah, exactly.
Someone's brought up in chat fishing. Okay, that would be something that seems like it would be easy to implement. Have it be part of the cooking recipes. Of course, you know, we keep harping on them saying, don't work on all these little side things. But that's something that totally makes sense. You have rabbit traps. Why not have a fishing pole?
Yeah, we talked about that for a while, especially with, I wouldn't classify that as a core game feature, but that's something that I could say, all right, I could see you're actually working on something that's going into the game instead of, again, lighting your friends on fire or something like that.
Yeah, that's part of the whole RP survival. That's part of surviving in the game, having food, maybe cooking certain types of food, maybe with fish oil, you could make a lamp. I mean, whatever. There's things you could come up with. And make something from those items. It's not totally pointless. It actually puts something into the game that's going to be used long term. Fishing makes sense. And why it's not in there and they're working on other things like this, you know, running through the water. When is this even going to be what it is in the end? Is it possible that in the end you're actually going to have to swim? Why are they making you go through more slowly rather than implementing water being, you know, 10 feet deep?
Eventually, hopefully that stuff will be in there.
And Jason in chat, he's asking, you know, is there any word of when they're going to be implementing this? I haven't heard a word about deep lakes
ever.
And we don't even know if they're ever going to make deep lakes, but to me, that makes total sense. I'd rather have deep lakes. Yeah. they don't want to have to make underwater. I mean, that's a lot of design. Okay, we'll make it so that when you swim, you can't see down. Make it so that when you're swimming, you just see up above the water and you're, you know, dog paddling or whatever you do. Don't make it like other games where you're like Grand Theft Auto, where you can actually swim through the water. There's all this detail. Okay, just make it basic. So when you swim across, you're looking up and swimming and seeing what's above the water. But still, make it deep so where if you stand there, you drown. Something.
One day, Brian, I really hope that this whole show, as we're wrapping it up here, if somebody from the company is listening to this, which it's possible you are, we want the betterment of this game. I mean, this game has got nothing but my 150% support. I want this game to succeed. I want this game to come to, you know, after this, go to beta and then go to a final release. I want this game to succeed. So I want nothing, as harsh as we may be being, it's the true reality. And we're just, yeah. we want the betterment of the game. So that's,
well, this is the first time that I've ever been more negative about it than you.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting because, you know, people that have, we're on episode 12 right here, people that have watched the last 11 episodes, it's like they've seen Brian and now it's kind of unraveling. So I hope they get it together.
It's not because I'm unraveling.
No, yes. Brian's losing it. We're going to have to kick him off. We'll have to restrain him because he'll be losing it every week.
But the whole hacking situation, I'm all about giving time. I'm all about, okay, let's wait and see. Mm-hmm. I really think that if it keeps going like this, I said we're hitting our boiling point, and we are. I don't know how much longer a lot of the dedicated players are going to be able to hold on if it's not dealt with at some point.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think that's pretty much it. We're playing now.
And actually I have one other thing.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
That if you go to infectionpodcast.com and you go up to the clan section, do you remember?
Let's do it.
We don't have one yet, but we're going to be implementing, and we have a place that you can go. If you click on Clan Spotlight, so go to Clan on the website, go to Clan Spotlight and click apply. We put in as a temporary ones, or, you know, cause you already know about us, but past member spotlights. And these are going to be clan members, some things about different clan members. But if you're a member of our clan and you would like to be, have a clan spotlight about you, which is going to be a previously recorded segment, just telling people who you are, where you're from, some interesting things about you. We're going to be going through and doing some clan spotlights on different people in the clan. And so go to clan and apply. It'll just get some basic information from you. And then we'll be getting a hold of you to record the segment and getting some of those built up and start hopefully showing them soon on each of the different podcasts.
Yeah, that's one thing that we're trying to do is people are always asking for different segments and different content. And one of these things is introducing our clan members. And, you know, you hear about Ferment every week in chat, but who is Ferment? You know, what does he do? You know, what's his story? So that's going to be kind of the stuff we're going to be doing. They'll be quick. Little segments, and we'll have an audio up there as well, and then we'll have the time-stamped video once we actually get these recorded so that you can either listen to it or watch. We'll just time-stamp the podcast or something like that where people can go and check that out. So if you have an idea for a segment, which I know a lot of you do, Brian and I have been going back and forth on all these different segment ideas. Let us know. Twitter's a pretty good way. That seems to, we've picked up a lot of stuff on Twitter. People are constantly tweeting us different things. So Twitter's a pretty good way to do that if you've got those.
Or they could go to our contact form as well.
Exactly. Or email, whatever else, for suggestions. Or I know a lot of people are saying, you know, do you guys need artwork? Do you need artwork? Can I make this? If you're good with that stuff, we'll take it, right? We're working on this stuff all the time. Just send it
to us. And we got some graphics that people have sent us that we haven't implemented yet, but we've got different ones we're going to be putting in.
Exactly. So. You know, if you want to make us a wallpaper or do this other stuff. And another thing, little teaser, we're working on a store because somebody asked me about a shirt. I ordered a shirt. It'll be here hopefully before next Tuesday. So
we'll see
how that works. And then if that's a go, you guys will be able to purchase shirts and coffee mugs and phone cases and all that other kind of product swag stuff that you can to pick up if you want to run around some clan stuff. So is that it, Brian?
Yeah, I think we covered everything. So as I say every week, and we've been picking up new people, we had people that say, hey, I heard you say that at the end of the last podcast, you know, if you want to become part of a community inside of H1Z1, come and check us out. Go to infectionpodcast.com, go to clan, and then there is join us. That'll tell you which server, and we are not that we're doing server hopping, but we are kind of doing server hopping, and we're going to try to stay on Bloodscorn for a while, maybe hopefully until the next wipe, and then decide isn't that the server for us? But right now, if you go there, it says, where are we? And we are playing on the Bloodscorn server. And then it goes through each step of how to join us. Join our Steam group, join us on TeamSpeak, how to name your character, and it'll get you connected with us.
Alrighty, Brian Aldridge from at Boise Computer on Twitter.
Yep.
See you next week.
Have a good night.
Nice. Brian uploads these videos. Like, Brian, he records stuff. So any of the hacker videos you see, that's Brian. That's Brian's work most of the time. Yeah. I don't always record. So that's Brian's work there. So you can give him some praise on that. So thank you, Brian. And hopefully we're more positive. I feel like this is like a really Debbie Downer show. This was just kind of like, man, screw this, screw that. Like I feel like
I had to get it off my chest.
Yeah.
So this is because normally I'm like, okay, there's hope. Everything's going to be cool. You know, let's see how it is next week. But I ran out of next weeks, I think, this week. It has just been a buildup. And so I just needed to vent a little bit and just say, hey, here's what's happening in game. And here's why we're lucky that we didn't have the show late last night, because I was so mad I would have come in just really, you know, I've had not quite 24 hours, but over 12 hours to really just let it go. And this is where I'm at over 12 hours later.
Oh, God.
So, you know, last night I was really, really, really mad. And I was ready just to, not to quit.
Were you ready to uninstall?
I was ready to stop playing and be like, what other games can I play for a couple months?
Ooh.
And so, of course, I've had a little bit of time. And we, you know, I ran around with some of the clan members today, and we've had a minimal amount of deaths. And it seems like maybe if you play certain hours of the day, things are a little bit better. But yeah, we'll be all right.
Well, we'll
make it through this.
In that case, I hope we see Brian next week. I have no clue if he'll even be playing the game next week, so I may be alone. But infectionpodcast.com is the website if you're interested in joining us. We do the show live every Tuesday night at 7 p.m. Eastern time. Right here, twitch.tv/infectionpodcast. My name is Nick Craig. At Gamecast Live is my Twitter handle. Thanks for watching Infection. We'll see you guys next week.
Have a good night.